I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
Started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP.
Radio.
Self-high-five. Hello, my fellow DDP Yoga Warriors. It is Wednesday night. It is March the 25th. It is 9 p.m. right here on the Eastern Time Zone, which could only mean one thing. It's another episode of DDP Radio right here at ddpradio.com. My name is Mike Mullins. As always, you can find me on my official home on the web, mikey90%.com. And as always, I am joined by the always insightful, always inspirational, always lovely, Stacey Morris. How are you, Stacey?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing really well, and I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show tonight. But real quick, I want to put over your book again, because it's been a couple weeks since we talked about it. StacyMorrisCleanComfort.com. You can get the audio book there. And, Stacey, you still have the physical hard copies available for people who want to go that route as well?
Yeah, there's no audio book yet. Maybe someday. But there's a Kindle and a hard copy. And if you want a signed, personalized copy, please shoot me an email at StacyMorris345@yahoo.com, and we can go from there.
And it was fun listening to you and Nancy talk off the air, because you know, here's two people who are very versed in the terms of getting healthy and being fit, and just hearing you two talk and learn from each other, it just proves this. You know, no matter how much you know and no matter how much far you've gone, you know, you can still learn from somebody and still absorb that information. So if you're, no matter where you're at in your DDP yoga journey, check out Stacey's book, cleancomfort.com. It explains not only how she did it with the memoir, it also explains, you know, things you can do for it, recipes, tips, you know, health guidelines. Definitely check it out. Stacey Morris, cleancomfort.com, an awesome read right there. And it's going to be a fun show tonight. In just a moment, we are going to be joined by a good friend of the show, nutritionist Nancy Giberte. For her seasonal visit, we're going to talk health and how to keep your body running at its maximum efficiency as we blaze through spring. And we'll be chatting with her in just a moment. And Stacey, it seems like we just had Nancy on for the winter season. It's just the crazy. The season's just flying by. So excited, but spring is upon us.
Yep, and it's seasonal changes, as Nancy will tell us in a moment, are a really good time to pay attention to what you're eating and to your body's different signals.
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking in a lot of detail about that as well. But real quick, I want to roll through the schedule, the DDP Yoga schedule. I don't know how many of you guys listening right now were in LaSalle, Illinois for the workshop this past weekend, but I've seen the pictures. It was a packed house. Looked like a great time. Stacey, have you seen all those pictures from the Illinois workshop?
It looked so fun. I just wanted to be there so badly that I couldn't. It looked like an amazing time.
Yeah, a great turnout as well, and it looked like everyone there came home satisfied. And I can't stress this enough. You can work out in front of the DDP Yoga DVDs all day, and it's a fantastic experience. And it's a great time, and we'll get the job done, but there is nothing like working out with DDP live. He's pushed me to places working out in live that I never knew I had places, and it's just a whole different experience. And he's got a bunch of different workshops coming up, but first I want to talk about WrestleCon this coming Saturday, 10 to 1 p.m., DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, our fearless leader, and Jake the Snake Roberts are going to be signing autographs this WrestleMania weekend at WrestleCon in San Jose, so definitely check that out if you guys get a chance. It's all the information is on Dallas' website, DiamondDallasPage.com. That kind of covers all his wrestling appearances and stuff like that. So if you want to check that out and go see DDP and Jake the Snake Roberts, and Kimberly Page is going to be there too. So talk about your transformations, and I'm sure they're going to want to hear all your information. And that brings me to the next workshop, which we've got coming up. It's going to be a big deal. Jake the Snake is inducting Diamond Dallas Page into the Brotherhood of the Cauliflower Alley Club, as well as he's getting an award for a humanitarian award in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Cauliflower Alley Club is the 50th anniversary of the Cauliflower Alley Club, which is a big group of Dallas's peers in the wrestling business. And while he's there, he's doing a workshop as well. April 13th, 2015, it's called the Ultimate Sin City Workshop, Las Vegas, Nevada. You're going to want to check that out for sure. And we also got May 9th in Brighton, Michigan, and June 13th, 2015 in St. John's, Newfoundland. We'll talk about those as they get a little bit closer. But for all your DDP Yoga Workshop questions, needs, to book them, whatever you want to do, go to ddpyogaworkshops.com. And, of course, the DDP Yoga Retreat, July 17th through the 23rd, October 16th through the 22nd, ddpyogaretreat.com. A little bit of a mouthful, but we got them all in there. And real quick before we bring Nancy on, I want to throw this out there. I've gotten a bunch of messages from people rocking their DDP Radio shirts. But if you are interested in grabbing a DDP Radio t-shirt, they are available at prowrestlingtees.com. Just click under the link for the Diamond Dallas Page store. And there's all kinds of cool different DDP Radio shirts, regular tees, unisex, soft shirts, ladies, fitted tees, long sleeves, and tank tops. prowrestlingtees.com. And click on Diamond Dallas Page. But it is about that time to welcome our guest. She is a friend to all of us here at DDP Radio. She is like the uber nutritionist. She has too many titles and certifications to mention. Let's just say she knows her stuff. Welcome to the show for her springtime visit, DDP Yoga Warriors. Welcome, Nancy Gioberti. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. We're glad to have you as usual. And if you guys want to get your questions in to Nancy, give us a call, 347-994-1216. Once again, 347-994-1216. Or you can hit Stacy up in the chat. She's going to be monitoring questions there as well. But take advantage of this opportunity and get some of your great questions in for Nancy, because she's like an encyclopedia on health and fitness.
Yeah, and you have clients all over the world, Nancy, as far away as Japan, so you can work with anybody anywhere. And also, before we start in on some health topics, can you just quickly tell us about your upcoming online course, which begins May 4th?
Sure. First of all, it's the beauty of technology. Skype, you know, really, and Google Hangouts really take sessions out of the office and into the comfort of one's home. So that's really why many of my worldwide patients do not have to fly in because of technology. And in addition to that, I'm able to put together my 9-step online training course because of technology once again. And this is a culmination of 15 years plus of being a functional medicine and nutritionist and really looking at how people would struggle with living a healthier lifestyle and what are the factors that are involved. It's just not about eating healthy or eating 100% organic. We have to look at all the other factors, the toxins, the sleep, the exercise, the stress, the mindset, really the mind-body connection, and understanding how that all, if it's not in alignment, how it affects one's health. So there's a 9-step program, and it will start on May 4th. So every Monday, you'll get a new step to learn from. And then every Thursday of that week, I'm going to be conducting a group call to go over the step, answer any questions. You'll get me live. And then we'll have a private Facebook page to answer any questions. Because really, the goal is not just give the information, but have you implement the knowledge so you're empowered to live a healthier lifestyle, because that's what it's all about, If you feel healthy, you could accomplish so much more. And really just having some accountability. And then you'll also, people will be able to access this perpetually. They could always go back, you know, because what I've also learned through the years is people sometimes will fall off their good habits and go back to other habits. So it's really great to have a refresher course and also be around like-minded individuals. And the registration page opens up this Friday. And I'm giving bonuses. So during the second week, which is all about healthy eating, Stacy's book, which, you know, Clean Comfort to me is such a phenomenal resource that I could recommend to my patients. I'm meeting with several doctors this weekend, bariatric doctor in particular, who, you know, he sees that for individuals that he's done surgery on, they still don't know how to eat healthy. And, for you know, he's always asked me, do I have a cookbook? And I don't. So to have Stacy's book to refer is phenomenal. And, you know, anyone listening who does not have that a copy of her book, I would highly recommend it. Anyone joining my program, be it, you know, from any part of the world, has to get a copy of her book during week two for sure.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's a great testimony.
The truth. No, and that's what testimonials are so good for, when they're truthful. And you had mentioned earlier how, you know, doing the exercises on video and actually being with Diamond Dallas is, you know, like brings it to a whole other level. And I will attest to that because since I've last been on the show, my son and I went to his New York City workshop, and it was amazing. Totally blew me away. Loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I love the fact you mentioned something earlier when you were talking about having knowledge and then, you know, teaching somebody how to implement that knowledge. I find that a lot of programs out there, and especially online programs, focus so much on just feeding you so much information that it's kind of hard to absorb that information and find a useful way to implement it in your life. And I love the way that you're taking that information and showing them how to use it and giving them steps on how to use it, because, you know, quite frankly, all the information in the world is pretty much useless without action. If there's no action behind it, the information is dormant. And I love the fact that you're teaching them how to implement the actions and the knowledge that you're providing them.
Yeah, it's just through years and years of watching people, because, you know, you see when people come in for a session that they have every great intention to really do this. And then either life happens or fear and doubt of change come in. It creeps, you know, it's just terrible. And people say, I can't do this, you know. They try, and then something, you know, some stressful event happens and they go for something comforting, and usually it's not very healthy. And then they're like, well, I did that once. Let me just fall off altogether. So it's really about constantly staying fresh in one's mind and accountability and giving, you know, easy tasks to implement one at a time. And you're right, you could get bombarded constantly, but you get overwhelmed and you get paralyzed not even to move and do anything.
And this group class, this online program, sounds like a real nice way to ease into a new direction. So, and I know working with you, you're very supportive, you're very thorough. So if anyone's even, you know, thinking about it, I encourage you to go to nancygoberti.com, check out what she offers. You're on Twitter, and now you're on Instagram too, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just getting involved in Instagram. I love Pinterest and Facebook and Twitter, but now Instagram is a new one. I see you on there. I love all your stuff. You get me very hungry, though.
But so this is your spring appearance on the show, and you know, what does it really entail? I mean, a lot of people don't realize that seasonal changes really mean your eating should shift, your body's going to start shifting in response to climate changes and temperature changes, and you always encourage a gluten-free, casein and dairy-free way of eating. And I know a lot of people think that that has to, you know, be super expensive. I personally don't believe food should be cheap. I think if it's cheap, you should be really worried. But, you know, how can people invest? What's the middle ground between all, you know, superfoods from the Amazon rainforest, you know, like acai powder and goji berries and things that can be a little pricey, and the middle ground between that and, you know, the crap that comes in boxes and bags? What do you recommend for your clients who are on budgets?
So that's a great question. And yes, the goji berries are, you know, a big bag is $19.99. It's crazy. In that case, it, you know, it makes more sense to get the superfoods from our nutritious fruits that are low glycemic, right? So the goji berries may not last a long time if you eat them alone. Now, there's a few ways you can get just as much antioxidants from blueberries, from strawberries. You know, go with the fruits that are in season. Like in the winter, there are certain fruits that you see more often. And now you'll start to see strawberries and blueberries that are in season. And then when the summer rolls around, you'll get the plums and all of that. And what I would suggest is, first of all, you make a mix. And you really make like a fruit bowl, and you cut all of them up into tiny little pieces. Look how small the goji berry is, right? That's one thing. Look at the all these fancy superfoods are going to be more expensive. If we wanted a superfood, I would go after the spirulina tablets, because you could really get a lot of energy and nutrients from that, and now makes a very good brand that's organic as well, and they're most inexpensive. But if you wanted to go, like you say, I don't want to deprive myself, but I don't want to spend all of this money either, you can make your own type of trail mix. So there's certain cereals that you can use. You could use the gojis, you could use raisins, you could use cranberries. You know, that's where you could go to Trader Joe's. They usually have really good prices. And say, okay, if I take a bag of this and a bag of this and I mix it all together and throw in some, you know, cashews or almonds, then I'll be okay, you know. And Trader Joe's is supposed to be non-GMO. I mean, they're going to be labeling everything eventually, but at least you don't have to buy then it organic if it's non-GMO. At least that's not going to be unhealthy, but it will be less expensive than if you went and got a 100% organic item. As far as if we look at, okay, what are we really eating? No matter what season we're in, if we're focusing on vegetables, and it should be a, you know, more emphasis on vegetables than fruit, because fruit then does turn into, you know, can feed candida if one has candida overgrowth. So if we focus on vegetables, I mean, vegetables go a long way, and they are very filling. So, you know, broccoli, you could get frozen broccoli, even organic, at Whole Foods for a very inexpensive price, right? You know, so if you looked at that compared to Brussels sprouts, well, or asparagus, you know, if asparagus is going to cost three times the amount of that bag of broccoli, I would go with the broccoli. I mean, it has very good nutrients and full of antioxidants, and it does have fiber, but it has certain components to it that say that, you know, it fights off cancer. So I would go and to the store when you have time to really go up and down those aisles and compare even fresh to frozen. I would not recommend canned, but I would recommend frozen if it's going to be economically better priced as well. And if you're not going to be able to consume it all at once, if you get fresh, you have to consume it within a certain amount of days, otherwise it'll go bad. So that's another thing that you could compare the prices with fresh produce and frozen organic or non-GMO. And another thing is, you know, if you start to look at the flyers, of any store. You know, there's a Mrs. Green's that used to just be local to New York, and now they're in New York and Connecticut, and they were bought out from a Canadian company, and now they're going all over the U.S. And they have their own card that when you spend a certain amount of money, you get $5 back. They have flyers that the prices are so inexpensive that you start to, like, look at it twice and say, wait, is that correct? So, you know, you almost have to be really smart consumers. And then, like you mentioned, Stacey, you know, if it's that cheap, what are you getting? So I will always say, you know, are you worth it? Is your health worth it? And the answer should be yes. So I'm worth it. So let's put a budget together. The way we should be putting a budget together for all other aspects of our life and our spending, let's put a budget together. And let's see, okay, if I buy this box, how much does it cost? But let's read the labels. What nutrients am I really getting? And am I feeding my body and my brain? Because if I'm eating empty nutrients, but they're cheap, what is going to happen long term to my body, my brain, my mood, my adrenal system, my thyroid, my hormones? The answer is not good. You know, so we really want to focus on how can I use my budget? What stores can I shop in? What can I buy to really get my nutrients in? And then as far as the superfoods, hey, if you're eating the right foods, you don't need the superfoods. Superfoods are great to have. Again, if I had to choose one, it would be spirulina.
It's all in context.
I use the spirulina. They're very cheap, relatively, and they give me a lot of energy. And right, Mike, it is all in context. And, you know, I think superfoods are great, but as Nancy's pointing out, it doesn't have to be fancy or exotic. There's nutrition even in the plain Jane fruits and veggies.
And what I was saying, like, have you seen how much it costs for a family of four to eat at Wendy's or McDonald's nowadays? People have no problem dropping $40 on a meal for their family at McDonald's or a $5 cup of coffee, and then they'll complain about, you know, $4 worth of produce that'll feed them for 3 days. So it's all in context the way you look at it, too. You know, people say they don't have the money to eat healthy sometimes, but they're feeding their kids this crap that they're getting nothing out of. And it's expensive as well. It's the work that goes into it more than anything. I think they're trying to avoid it sometimes.
No, it's all relative. You're 100% correct. So if, you know, and then you start to look at, this is where it should be a household budget. So if we're not feeding our kids with the right nutrients to fuel their brain and their central nervous system, then what other areas are you going to have to fund to get them to the point where you want them to be? You know, there could be from tutoring, or there could, you know, so many different things, whereas we put the emphasis should be on the food, you know, like you mentioned, you could go to Starbucks. I mean, I think you could pay at least $10 for some items there, you know, and I don't know, the Wendy's, the fast foods, all that stuff. And, you know, when you leave there a little bit afterwards, you're hungry again. So now you're going to be eating food at home. So it's like double expense, but nobody really sees it that way, which is a problem.
I think eating your own food and eating wholesome foods really is preventive medicine. And not only does it, I think, will probably save you in prescriptions and doctor bills, but once you get there, you'll be ahead of the game. You're looking and feeling younger. You know, and the body, it's deceptive because the body is very strong and adaptable. And I know from my own experience, it can tolerate us eating crap for many years. But trust me when I say, because I've watched it with older people in my life, there comes a point where the body just says, that's it, I can't do it anymore. And then all these, when it rains, it pours, you know. So it seems like, oh, yeah, I'm getting away with it. But there will come a time when, like, you know, the chickens come home to roost. And I don't want I'm working for that not to happen. I want to stay as vibrant as I can. And I believe that it's possible well into your 70s and 80s if you take care of yourself.
100%. I mean, how long did Jack LaLanne live? You know, I mean, you know, and he looked pretty good. So you can,
yeah.
You have to take care of your body, and you don't know, like, this is what I see in my practice. I have 20-year-olds coming in that are doing so many unhealthy things, and it's not even recreational drugs. It's what they're eating. The sugar cravings are so high, you know, and then they're putting so many toxins on their body through beauty products that are not, you know, healthy. And all of this is just taking a toll on them, and then it affects their thyroid and their hormones. But then I could have a gentleman come in his early 40s who is slender. So, you know, being slender is not always healthy either. You know, so people are like, oh, he's slender, he must be fine. No, but the eating protocol that he followed was so inflammatory that he ended up getting rheumatoid arthritis and all these other issues. So, again, it goes back to what's my vulnerability? Like you said, how long do you really think the body could take abuse? Over time, something is going to give. We all have a vulnerable point. It could be migraines for one person. It could be asthma for the other. It could be GI issues, and they always have stomach cramps. There's joint pains, arthritic pains. We all have one point of vulnerability. And when the inflammation leaves the stomach, it travels to the next weak spot. And then it continues and continues. It's like if you ever had water in your house, water travels. It goes up walls. It goes down. It just makes everything get swollen, right? So this is what happens in the body, and you don't want to be a ticking bomb. You want to take care of your life. And I always say we should want to take charge of our health. I really don't understand why one wouldn't. We only, as far as I know, we only have this temple, this body. This is it. And we have to take it throughout life. So we should really focus on putting everything in it that's really healthy. Because for exercise, we always understand our core is important. We have to strengthen the core with ab exercises. That'll help the back. That'll help everything. It's right in the middle, right? But then we forget all about that when it comes to food. We'll do the abs, and then everybody will eat garbage, or they'll drink excessively, or whatever. You know, and so that's how we have to look at it. And I always say, ask yourself, what is this food going to do for me? Is it going to nourish my hair, my skin? Is it going to give me mental clarity, or is it going to make me mentally foggy? Is it going to give me energy? Is it going to make me tired? Is it going to nourish, or is it going to go to all my problem spots? And so you're coming into spring, you've left winter, right? It was a tough winter for us East Coasters, and now you're, you know, so like maybe people ate more because they were in more and they didn't get to move more. You know, it was kind of depressing as well. It was all dark and rainy, snowy and dreary. So now springtime, the sunshine's coming out, but the body needs to really also detox from that winter of hibernation. And, you know, on my website, there is a free podcast one could listen to about detoxification. One most important thing is hydration, drinking. We need to hydrate the body with pure water. You know, lots of people don't like it. You try to make it your friend, you know, even if it's like putting lemon in it or a splash of unsweetened cranberry juice, anything. Because you want to hydrate your body, and you really want to look at the greens and with vegetables, the complex carbohydrates, whatever protein you have, if you're vegan or if you're vegetarian or if you're eat meat, make sure it's a really healthy protein. Reduce the toxic load of all those antibiotics and growth hormones that animals conventionally will get. And then include the sweets, could be your fruit, but, you know, everything in moderation. Again, we talk about everything being relative, everything in moderation. Never go overboard, even what you're eating. If it's compulsive, healthy could also then turn out to be dangerous if you're overdoing one particular thing all the time.
I have a quick question. I have a quick question for you, Nancy. I literally got a text from my mom before we went on the air tonight. My dad, it was actually a week and a half ago today, had a liver transplant from an autoimmune disorder, and he's about 10 days post-op right now, and he's had the autoimmune disorder for years now, and one of the things that they require of him for his recovery is he has to go on a super, super, super high protein diet for to help rebuild the liver. I guess that's helps, you know, reestablish the liver. She was looking for some different ideas that can change things up because he doesn't want to live off of protein shakes and peanut butter. So different ways, he has to get like hundreds of grams of over 100 grams of protein in a day, and it's going to be hard to get that in with her kind of cooking.
And now, does she not eat meat?
He does, but my mom is big into casseroles. She's a typical mother who cooks a lot.
Okay.
And he's looking for different ways to get healthy proteins in now that he's got the new liver and actually wants to take his health seriously because, you know, he's pretty much getting a second chance on living. My uncle gave him 65% of his liver 10 days ago, so...
Amazing. Well, that's a beautiful story, and I hope he has a speedy recovery. My son had liver issues when he was young, and for many years, I fed him, I had to feed him veal. Now, I personally don't eat veal. I feel bad for the animal, but it was the highest amount of glutathione. And glutathione was really important for the liver rebuilding as well. So the choices are, I personally would, I would definitely go for some type of healthy meat on a daily basis. I don't know if he even likes to eat liver, but I would do lamb. I would do very lean meats. The protein powders, I would do a pea protein because you could get like 22 grams of protein from one scoop. I know when I make my shake in the morning for my teenagers, I put 3 scoops in that first drink. So you could get easy 50 to 70 grams of protein from a pea protein, and it's very lean. So I would never go with soy isolates. I wouldn't go with the whey. I would go with a vegetable source. Spirulina, actually 65% of its weight is protein as well. So I would do that if they're okay with that. Mm-hmm. The thing when you eat a lot of protein, you then have to worry about your kidneys functioning. I would ask the doctors if he could drink Portioco tea, which is really good for the kidneys. So,
okay.
And he definitely wants to drink a lot of liquids. Another thing is, and I know, Stacy, we had talked about this, you can also recommend your mom to make broth, and he could drink broth every day. So you could either do chicken broth or you can do grass-fed, grass-finished bones and do beef broth. So that is also very medicinal, not only for your GI tract, but for all of your detoxification organs. And what he would, what she would do is really keep it on a low simmer. You're supposed to get the bones and keep it on a low simmer for hours, and that's when you get the most medicinal part with the glucosamine and the gelatin and the protein. So he could drink it that way if he likes that. He could make it as a soup. You could add vegetables to it. You could do an egg drop soup. You could do the pea protein, the spirulina, you know, even green leafy vegetables. I mean, they have little protein, but that'll all add up.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea. The broth idea is great, too. I'm going to actually start incorporating that into my own life.
Yeah, broth is great. There are several places in New York City that just offer broth. they opened up this past winter, so it was a big hit.
I never think of that as a protein source.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it beyond protein. You know, so my grandparents came here from Italy, and my grandfather was a chef, and they were very, very big on broth. So it was something that they brought over from their country. And they would always say it was medicinal, right? And people would be like, oh, is that an old wives tale? But it's the studies show how healthy it is. Not only for the protein, but all the other aspects. But you just have to, you know, if you're just using a boneless chicken breast to do it, it's not going to do this. You need the bones. And it does heal, and it seals your gut lining, and therefore it will help with disease prevention. But then because it breaks down all of the, you get calcium and magnesium and sulfur, trace minerals, and then you also get the glucosamine and the gelatin. So all of this gets released from the bones, and that would really be very helpful for anyone. And it
Does this hold true for chicken and bones both, or is one better? The other.
Well, they say that, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of the chicken broth, but they say that the beef broth is very medicinal, even more than the chicken broth. But quite frankly, I would go with either one. There's a whole GAPS diet out there, and that's really geared for children, and it was either broth would do. But as long as it's, you know, the animal has to be pasture-raised or organically raised, grass-fed, you know, best if it's grass-finished. Because if it's just a conventional chicken, you know, then you're going to be drinking all the garbage that could be in the poor animal's body. So I wouldn't go this way.
Very important.
Funny you said that. I was reading Yahoo News this past week, and there was an article regarding bone marrow broth is huge in the paleo circuit. Do you know anything about the bone marrow broth that's so big right now?
Well, the difference between regular broth and that broth is just that they simmer it for, so they do it a little different, okay? So basically for the bone marrow, as they call it, is it's made from bones that are usually roasted and then they're boiled for 24 hours or longer. And it's a long, slow cook that helps break the bones down, release the nutrients and minerals that's easy then for the body to absorb, like the collagen, gelatin, glucosamine. And as opposed to, you know, if you're making chicken broth, I mean, you do it for a few hours, right? And you don't usually roast anything beforehand. So that's really the difference. You know, I think when they come up with all these terms, it's like, wait a minute, what is that? You know, it's just the process of how they cooked it. And it's much longer, so, you know, it's much, and it's you'll see, it's very cloudy, because it's been boiling for 24 hours. But it's definitely worth worth it.
It sounds definitely worth a look into, and I'm gonna find some good bones, and I'll report back on how it tastes and how I feel. But I want to be sure we have time for this one topic we all talked about, and we've never really delved into it. I mean, I get so focused on gluten-free and dairy-free and, you know, sometimes sugar-free that I totally forgot about how important it is to get fiber. And I was reading about this, and this one article said that women should get 25 grams minimum a day, men 38, and there are all kinds of philosophies on where to get fiber, how to get it, should you add it to powders, you know, can you get too much, you know, so many questions. But you were saying before we went on the air, it is definitely important to get enough, but also don't get too much. So what do you tell your clients? I would imagine the most Americans, the average, probably we don't get enough, just because our diets are so full of simple carbs.
Exactly. So if, first, you know, what is fiber, right? So fiber is a carbohydrate that the body, the human body, cannot digest. So most carbohydrates we break down into sugar molecules, but fiber can't be broken down into the sugar. And instead, it passes through the body undigested. So it does help regulate our sugar levels. It does keep us fuller, feel, you know, not as hungry. And if taken in the right amount, it could also keep us regular, right? And then, you know, there's so many different guidelines of, okay, children and adults need at least 20 to 30 grams of fiber per day. Most Americans don't get not even 10 to 15 grams. And then they always recommend more for men than women. And then if you're older than 50, they want you to take more. So the reason why they recommend more for men than women is they just assume that men are going to be eating more than women. There's no body reason. It's just they say for every 1,000 calories, a guideline is to get 14 grams of fiber in your diet. And if you achieve that goal, they say you'll feel fuller longer. So there's a few things that I want to preface here. If you are not having any fiber now, and you know the best way to get fiber is through vegetables and fruit, and I'll go through a few other things and even give you, you know, 10 ideas of how much these food products have, food items have fiber content in them. But I really don't want anyone saying, okay, I have like 4 grams of fiber and I'm going to go to 30 tomorrow. This has to be slow. Because if you go really fast and you go overboard with the high fiber diet plan or, you know, eating regimen, you could put yourself at risk for really severe stomach cramps, constipation, and even nutritional deficiencies. Because when you have such high levels of fiber, it could interfere with the absorption of minerals such as iron, antioxidants like beta carotene, and then you're throwing off your body biomedically with these nutritional deficiencies. So first we want to go slow. If you can try to figure out, you know, count how much fiber you're getting on a daily basis, and then you have to remember, okay, so now I am going to eat fiber either at breakfast, lunch, or dinner. If you don't eat any, I would add it to one meal. And then after a week, I would add it to 2 meals. And then keep going. And then just, you know, once you have the right amount, if you feel, you know, and you could tell if you're going to the bathroom, you're not getting stomach cramps, great. In addition to when you eat fiber, you have to hydrate. Because fluid and fiber go hand in hand. The more fiber you eat, the more fluid intake you need. So you want to make sure you drink the enough amount of water along with your fiber intake So you do have proper digestion and you avoid the cramping. And you could have, like what we mentioned before, the chicken broth and the beef broth. You could have those liquids as well. But coffee and teas don't really count, because if they have caffeine in them, they will dehydrate you. So then you'll need more. So you want to go slow with this. And again, the fiber will not be digested, right? So it's going to go through you. And there's soluble fiber, which dissolves in water, that will really help with the blood cholesterol and your blood glucose levels. And those examples of those foods are oatmeal, nuts, beans, lentils, apples, and blueberries. And then we have insoluble fiber, which doesn't dissolve in water, and it will help move the food along in your GI tract. And those foods are basically the whole foods, where we think of brown rice, legumes, carrots, cucumbers, tomatoes. If you do have wheat, that's where, you know, the whole wheat would be better than the, you know, if you're having the white bread. So that's the difference between those two groups. If you want to increase fiber intake, instead of drinking fruit juice, which we shouldn't be drinking anyway, that's where you want to eat the whole fruit, right? Instead of having white rice or white pasta, you want to have brown rice. It would be great to have the brown rice pasta, quinoa pasta, and then you can have raw vegetables instead of chips or crackers or chocolate bars, for that matter. And you can also have beans and legumes if you're, you know, either have a meatless meal one time or add that in. There's a great black bean pasta that I think tastes really good, and not only does it have high protein, and you know, that's another way perhaps your father, going back to your dad, could get protein. He could have black bean pasta that has 22 or 24 grams of protein, and it also has fiber. So fiber, how does it help with disease? If you increase your fiber, you're going to be helping prevent heart disease, diabetes. You're going to the type 2 diabetes you're going to help with. You could help with your cholesterol, your triglycerides, excessive weight, especially around the abdomen, and then insulin levels will come down, blood pressure. It'll help keep you regular, which everybody should be regular, and that's always a problem that we should look at. Also, when you go to a gluten-free diet, you know, if you're replacing gluten for gluten-free products and you're not having any fiber and you're not having vegetables and fruit, you could be constipated as well. So just going gluten-free is the, you know, what you want to do is look at balance. And that's where you want to get your complex carbohydrates, and then you would get fiber as well. If you're eating one of these healthy foods, you're going to get fiber. So just to give you some type of guidelines of how you could get fiber. And I know, Stacey, you asked a question about like taking supplements and the powders. I personally would recommend getting it from food. So like, you know, split peas, it has 16 grams per cup cooked. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yes.
And lentils have 15. Black beans have 15.
Lentils, because I'm not a big over, but I do push myself. I get a lot of my fiber from lentils, beans, and lately I've been utilizing the beauty of chia seeds because they're high in fiber, and I mix them with water and drink it that way. But I had a question on just the, you know, changing the constitution of food. You know, for example, I make a lot of desserts out of chickpeas, which I blend in the food processor or the Vitamix. And it makes it into almost like a batter. So it's been really disintegrated. Does that change the fact that it has fiber, or am I still getting fiber? I mean, I always wondered about that.
You're still getting your fiber. you know, so like if you have this, if it's like a cup cooked or, you know, and then you put it into the machine and it turned the texture, you still have the fiber. So, you know, that's why the pea protein, again, go back to, I'm a big fan of the pea protein, because not only are you getting protein, but you're getting fiber by drinking that, you know, so you get two for the price of one, right? And then the chia seeds has about 5.5 grams of fiber per tablespoon. So that, you know, think about, that's a lot for a little tablespoon. You're getting that much fiber. And not only does it have fiber, but chia seeds is a superfood, you know, and it fills you up. And you can make the puddings. I mean, you know, we see it in your recipes. Chia seeds is a great thing even to put in a smoothie, and it thickens it. So definitely that's helpful as well. Even artichokes, you know, if you have a medium artichoke, it has about 10 grams of protein. Broccoli have about 5 grams per cup boiled. So, and then your chia seeds, lots of people think flax seeds, but the chia seeds have more actually than the flax seed.
It's really, it's important to beware of slick marketing, because I don't know how I've lost count of how many fiber ads I see all the time with the pills and the powdered mixes. And I used to do that back in the days when I would be trying the latest diet, and I'm like, oh, this is a shortcut. I don't need to eat vegetables. And I never, first of all, I never really lost that much weight, but I also never felt good. I feel really good now when I'm getting all this stuff, whether it's vitamins or fiber, I'm getting it from food, you know, and that just makes all the difference.
Yeah, because the fiber supplements and powders, they could really give you cramps too, because it's not natural, really, and it could be from a natural source, but the food is really the best way, because you have to chew it, you have to swallow it, you know, it's just it goes in alignment with one's body, and you're also learning how to eat healthy, whoever, you know, is not eating this way. So you get an added benefit, you know, adding the fiber is also adding really good nutrients, but just taking a powder or a tablet, and so many people will do that. And then if it's on Dr. Oz's show, then everybody's doing it. It could be a problem.
Definitely. Absolutely. Mike, do we have any callers?
Not yet. Nope. We got a lot of people listening, but no one with any questions yet. But I want to point out, you mentioned chia seeds in the shakes. That is my favorite go-to thing. I use my organic protein powder, and some people don't like the texture of chia seeds. I love the kind of crunch and like snap and crackle that it adds to my protein shakes. And I found from someone who's had digestive issues since he was 2 years old, I found that nothing kind of keeps me on track like the chia seeds do. But I was reading online that it works different for some people. I heard the chia seeds can kind of like have different elements of digestive issues, of digestive like healing properties, whether it be like, you know, for constipation or you know, excessive diarrhea or whatever it may be.
It's true. And then, you know, some people who do have, you know, for some people, yeah, again, you have to go slow. So lots of times people will like something and then they'll go overboard with it. And then they might have a negative reaction. And we don't want that, right? So everybody is so different. And you really have to do trial and error and see, well, how much can your body handle, right? Chia seeds are also really have a good source of omega-3 fatty acids. So if someone has a problem breaking down fatty acids, they might not do well with too much of it. You know, so like someone mentioned to me the other day, oh, I had 2 tablespoons of something and I was fine. But when I had the 3rd tablespoon, my stomach started bothering me. And it was about some ice cream that had, you know, xanthan gum and all these other additives that, you know, she's sensitive to. So she knew that her tolerance is at one level. And that's what we all have to see, not going overboard. But this is with everything.
And you talk about that, too, with, like, vegetables. We were talking about this off-air before the show started, with vegetables and fiber and stuff like that, about easing into putting fiber into your life. A lot of people, when they go, I'm not going to use the term diet, I hate that term, but when they decide they're going to go and change their dietary, you know, life, they go all in. They're like, I'm going to eat all this. I'm going to have 14 smoothies. I'm going to have chia, you know, all this stuff. And it ends up having a counterproductive aspect to it. Can you talk about some techniques on how you would recommend somebody who's making the plunge to better their health, how they could ease into it instead of just, you know, going overboard like you talked about and jumping in head first?
Well, I think one of the most important things to do is to keep a food journal. So, you know, until you write it down in black and white, you may not really have an understanding of how unhealthy or how healthy you are eating. So when you put it down on paper, you know, there's no hiding. And it's not to hide, but it's awareness. I think many times people are just not aware. They're not conscious. They're not awake to what they do with their health. And so we talk about eating aspect. Sometimes they just go through the motions. They get the same thing. They grab something. They don't even know what's in it. They haven't read the label. So if you write it down and you say, okay, when I wake up, then what's the first thing I'm going to drink? What's the first thing I'm going to eat? And I would say that would be the number one step. Do this for a week. Track your meals for 1 week, during the week and on weekends. I don't know, you know, one's work schedule, school schedule could change from the weekday to the weekend. Then after that, and track how much you're drinking. And are you, you know, do you have a daily bowel movement? And how do you feel? So really get aware of your body. The people that are most in tune with their body and how food affects them and how all these other factors in life affect them, those are the ones that have an easier time reaching their health goals because they are they're awake, they're in tune, right? So if you do this for a week and they say, wow, I am not having any fiber, better yet, I'm not even having any green vegetables. This is what I have. That's interesting. And let's be honest to ourselves. And then how does one feel? And then I would say tackle it one meal at a time. So then for the next week, I would go after your breakfast. And I would say, well, what changes can you make to breakfast to add fiber or to add a vegetable? You know, and then go after the following week, go after lunch. And then the week after that, target your dinner. And then go after the snacks. So I would go one, first find out, you have to get a baseline. You know, like when someone comes in with a CBC, a complete blood, you know, the blood test results, I always say, where's your baseline? Like let's, or if we're doing functional medicine testing, it's great to have a baseline. Where are we starting? And then what are our health goals? And then we make the changes and then we go from there. So that would be my first recommendation. Food journal. So you're aware of what you are eating, and that may make you look at your labels and your processed foods for the first time. And that's great. You know, it's never too late. And no one should ever judge. No one should ever be ashamed. You know, it's just no one's learned this. This hasn't been taught in schools. Hey, be aware of what you're eating and how it affects your body. No, and then we get brainwashed from the commercials and the TVs and the radios and the accessibility of fast foods. So I bring it down to the fact, like, let's get grounded. You know, you got the warrior pose in yoga. Well, we got to get grounded in what we're eating. So the only way to do that is for you to take charge and know. So do that journal, then tackle it one meal for the entire week. Just go after one meal, be it breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And then the next week, go after the next. And the next week, go look at the next. And then look at your snacks. And in 4 weeks' time, you should have made some changes. And then you may, you know, I would suggest to keep the journal to say, how do you feel? Oh, I felt cramping that day. Hey, how much fiber did I have? Did I drink enough water? You know, otherwise, you're just going to go through, you know, throw something at the wall, see if it sticks. And what is good for one person is not always the same for another. So the only way, this has to be individualized, done by the individual.
I love
so
it.
So awareness and little changes go a long way.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And we're not perfect. And it's okay.
No.
It's okay if we screw up. I mean, that's another thing. Like, no one's perfect. So as long as we get that off, okay, this is fine. But I want to know what I'm eating. And then when you see, you make modifications. And then it's not overwhelming. And then it's a lifestyle. So my whole thing is it's got to be a lifestyle. You have to embrace it. You have to see the benefit. You know, when people are working out and they start to lose inches and they start to get tone, they feel, hey, this is motivational. I'm seeing changes. With food, you have to really be aware to get that same wow or aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I love it. And we are just about out of time, but I really want to say real quick, I love your thoughts on the journaling. Food journaling literally changed my life. And I have a concept that I do before I bite it, I write it, and I track everything, every meal, every BLT, I call them bites, licks, and tastes, everything. And when you look at that and have that in front of you and actually see what's working for you or what didn't work for you, and then have the checklist, how many fruits and vegetables you got. It's almost like a game trying to get all your checks done for the day, and that just totally changed my world. I just want to put that out there. I love your philosophies. I love your knowledge, and thank you so much for coming on with us every quarter, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. But real quick, tell us your website, your Twitter, and your Facebook so we can have our listeners go over and like it.
So everything is Nancy Guberti. The Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and then the website is Nancy Guberti, and it's GUBERTI.com. And, you know, like me on Facebook or friend me or whatever. We like to keep the conversation going. I try to get a lot of information post up on a daily basis because the more people know, the healthier they can be.
Absolutely. And check out NancyGuberti.com. Information on a new program as well coming out soon.
Thank
you guys so much. Until next week, thank you guys very much. Stacey, thank you for holding down the fort with me. Robert was off tonight, so it was kind of a dual duty for me tonight, co-hosting the show and doing the technical aspect of things, so it was kind of different for me. But thank you, Nancy, for coming on again.
Fabulous, Mike.
Oh, thank you. Until next week.
You did fabulous, and we're going to keep your dad in our prayers. We're glad he had a successful surgery.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. And until next week, I will see you guys later. Own it, my friends. Peace.